Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
You're welcome back to the programme. 51551 if you want to contact the programme this evening. As you're probably aware, rollout of the vaccine to priority group 4. That's people aged 16 to 69 with a very high risk medical condition started on Monday. This week, earlier today on Morning Ireland, Rachel English asked Minister of Health Stephen Donnelly how things were going.
Because looking at the figures published this week, they show that 93 people in that group were vaccinated on Monday. Now, the target for the week was supposed to be 10,000. It's highly unlikely that target's going to be met, isn't it?
Well, let's wait to the end of the week to see. So this is a new cohort. So NIAC came back to us just in the last 2 weeks. They had done a very thorough review and they had identified a group of people with underlying conditions that put them at very high risk. Their estimate is that it's about 160,000 people. And the plan is to vaccinate the first 10,000 of them this week. And let's wait till the end of Sunday to see what those figures actually are.
Okay, so wait until Sunday is the plea. That is the target, 10,000 people by Sunday. Well, I can give you the most up-to-date figure as of this afternoon. 295 people in that group have received the jab, though the figures from the vaccine dashboard are 2 days behind. But that is the most up-to-date figure we have, 295. For more on this, let's speak now to Gillian McNulty, cystic fibrosis campaigner, Derek Mitchell, who's chief executive of Irish Platform for Patients Organisations, Science and Industry, and Professor Tim Lynch, who's a consultant neurologist at the Mater Hospital. You're all very welcome to the programme. Gillian, I might turn to you first of all. We'll start with good news, as they say, because you got your vaccine today, is that right?
I did. I got my vaccine this morning at dialysis.
Okay, I think congratulations is in order. How did it come about?
Well, I was told on Wednesday that the hospital would be giving out my vaccine. Kind of up to then, I was getting mixed messages. Nobody knew where it was going to be. And I just got the phone call yesterday evening from the CNM and dialysis to say that I'd be getting my vaccine this morning.
Well, what a relief, I'd say.
Oh, absolutely. It's like a weight has been lifted off me. It's amazing.
And people will know you, Gillian. You're well known as a CF campaigner. But you got the jab because you're on dialysis, is that right?
Yeah, I'm in kidney failure and on dialysis and on a kidney transplant list. So that's why I got it. It wasn't, unfortunately, because of my CF.
Yeah, if it was, you would have got it a long time ago, says you.
Yeah.
So you're on dialysis. You're in quite regularly then to get your dialysis, are you?
Yeah, I'm in 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Okay, and you got your jab in hospital, is that right?
Yeah, in St Vincent's Hospital
okay.
This morning. Yeah.
Because people are wondering, where will I go to get the jab? And it seems to be in different places for different people, depending on your condition. It's your understanding from chatting to staff that patients with chronic kidney disease are likely to get their jabs in hospital. But and that would make sense, I suppose, based on what you're saying, the frequency of visits there. But what do you know about CF patients who are also in priority group 4 if they have severe CF, according to the list?
As far as I know, they're to be done in the hospital setting as well. But I just think that the fact that it's just severe CF is wrong. I think everybody with CF needs to get a vaccination because nobody knows how anyone is going to react to COVID, never mind somebody with cystic fibrosis lungs. So I think they really need to make it a priority for everybody with CF to get the vaccination, not just severe patients.
Yeah, because you can have the same diagnosis, but depending on the severity, you might not be in group 4, isn't that it? That's the complexity.
No, I mean, like somebody with 30% lung function could be classed as severe, but they may only have one admission a year, whereas somebody with 90% lung function could be in hospital two, three times a year. So how do you distinguish who needs it more? It's very wrong. Like cystic fibrosis is cystic fibrosis. It's really serious.
Yeah, and it must be very worrying for people with cystic fibrosis who are not in group 4 and who will have to wait just a little bit longer for that vaccine.
Yeah, they're extremely frustrated, anybody I've spoke to now. And they're scared because people have been cocooning for the last year and some people haven't left their house. And the fact that they have to wait for longer is awful. I can't imagine being in their position. It'd be horrible.
Yeah, that would mean that they'd be in group 5 or 6 or 7.
Group 7.
Okay, stay with me, Gillian, if you don't mind.
Okay.
As I say, I also have Derek Mitchell, who's Chief Executive of the Irish Platform for Patients, Organisations, Science and Industry. Derek, you're very welcome to the programme. And you represent various patients and groups that come under Group 4. Who exactly?
Well, thanks, Cormac. And so when the reprioritisation was announced just over 3 weeks ago, we had called for this back in December around the reprioritisation. So whereas that initial move towards identifying those who were medically at severe risk of from COVID, it represents the coalition that we formed was over 19 patient groups, and it was the likes of the Irish Heart Foundation, Cystic Fibrosis Ireland, Rare Diseases Ireland, the Neurological Alliance. So a lot of the conditions who were, I guess, initially down in Cohort 7, and now we have the new reprioritised list, which I think it's fair to say was welcome. But the sense, I think, since, in the intervening period, in the 3 weeks since, is that, well, that there's still very much a kind of a one-size-fits-all approach being taken with respect to identification of patients.
Well, I think why do you say that? Because just based on our conversation with Gillian, you could have CF, for example, but not be in Group 4. They seem to be very precise in terms of who you need to have a severe form of CF, even though Gillian might quibble with this. But why do you say it's one size fits all?
Well, certainly we can only really go on what we're hearing from the patient groups themselves, and whereas I think the vast majority were very welcoming of the reprioritisation, I think what's happened is that those who are at high risk in Cohort 7 are there's really a lack of clarity there for those who haven't really been identified in this first instance.
Mm-hmm.
So, and whereas the prioritisation list, we're told, is a dynamic list, and there's the possibility of revising it, just like what Gillian is saying, it's very hard for patients to really understand the decision-making. And the whereas...
Is there clarity, Derek, that if I can ask you, for patients in this group, Group 4, is there clarity on how they will be called for a vaccination and where they should go for a vaccination yet?
That would be something that we would certainly welcome. And I know that a lot of healthcare professionals out there would certainly welcome greater clarity on that in terms of which vaccine for certain patients need to be given.
So you don't know, basically.
And also a review of any evidence that's being used to determine that.
Okay. Well, we have a statement from the HSE, and part of it says what you should do if you believe you're in Group 4. And I think we might read it out just for clarity, if that's the word. It goes like this. If you know or think you are in a very high-risk group, we understand that you want to get vaccinated as soon as possible. However, you do not need to call or contact anyone right now. Your hospital doctor or nurse and your GP will not have the information you need because we are still working out the details. Once this process is completed, you will be contacted with information about your vaccination. Many people with the same diagnosis as people in Group 4 but with less severe disease are considered at high risk, but not at very high risk of severe COVID-19. These groups are in allocation groups 5 and 7, and as a result will need to wait some time longer for that vaccine. Now, what do you make of that, Derek?
I think that's the kind of communication that patients need, and they need to be working with patient groups to deliver this information more consistently. I think that I'm surprised that to hear that healthcare professionals are not in a position to deliver information to patients that would help ease the kind of anxiety that's being driven predominantly by the delays.
So are you getting an awful lot of calls in from confused patients looking for clarity. I mean, does it seem to you, I wonder, that they've started this part of the rollout programme before they were fully detailed and they had all the detail worked out on how to roll that out?
Well, I think one of the key challenges for this particular cohort was even in identifying patients in the first instance. And if there's any lesson to be learned from this whole process is the clear need for a unique health identifier so that you can identify patients at the national level with the interests of improving public health. It's very, very clear. I mean, I think NIAC quoted that there's 160,000 people in this cohort. That was the first time that we'd ever seen numbers being quoted about this yeah. cohort. So it's for us, it's very, very clear that one of the key challenges is that at the national level, we don't know where the patients are. And yeah. I think in a 21st century healthcare system,
there is no list or there is no clear-cut database. Stay with me, Derek, for a moment. A texter says, 51551, oncology patients got their first dose of vaccine today in my hospital, says a listener. Let me turn to Professor Tim Lynch, who's a consultant urologist at the Mater Hospital. Professor Lynch, you're very welcome to the programme. It's a very complex job. You must have some sympathy, I suppose, for those in the department of the HSE collating lists from hither and thither, because there is no one list of that 160,000 high-risk patients, is there?
No, and I do feel sorry. And this is a tough business, isn't it? There's an urgency for everybody to get this vaccine and appropriately chronic disease being identified. But Derek is absolutely correct. One of the big things that has hindered this is that we don't have a unique identifier for people in the country across the board. So you may have a patient going from different hospitals and you mightn't be able to actually link them up even from information, data, investigations. And the same applies then when you want to pick out, well, actually, how many patients do we have, say, in my area with motor neuron disease or Parkinson's disease who are at risk and need to the vaccine? And that's very difficult to get. It will depend on individual hospitals if they've managed to, and clinicians, if they've generated a database and registry that they've maintained a list over the years, because what we have mostly in hospital will be lists of patients, just demographics, who referred the patient's name, date of birth, where they're from, but not actually what their diagnosis or condition is.
So even compiling the list, Tim, is this a multi-department, multi-discipline exercise?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it comes back to close communication, and I think what might be, need to be done here, it's a good example of where we need to think about integrating our care in Ireland, being the hospital groups. And I think clustering hospitals is important because you get better care and GPs in community. And it would strike me here that actually a pretty rapid meeting between hospital groups, ICGP, Department of Health, HSE, and patient support groups just to address this, to see how do we go about this.
It's amazing that hasn't happened already.
I suppose that's valid. I suspect, you know, they've been very busy. There's been a lot on their plate dealing with this pandemic, clearly. I think overall they've done a pretty good job. But how we best vaccinate this group and the rest of the population does need quite a bit of thought, and you've got to line people up to do that. For example, GPs are well used to giving vaccinations. This is what they do day in, day out. So that group is the group you'd certainly be tapping into their expertise.
Do you get the impression, though, that this cohort, this group, was bumped up the vaccination priority list, especially when it was decided that AstraZeneca was not to be used on the older cohort? The AstraZeneca supply had to be used somewhere, and they started on this list, Tim, possibly without being ready for it.
Well, you know, there's a sense of that, isn't there? There's been a change of tack, isn't there, being from rather than age, but you're trying to do from a chronic disease, which I understand. But how we do this is needs a bit of thought and put it together correctly, because generating a list of patients, you know, within, say, 36 hours notice that was given is not feasible. We don't have the database and the registry to do that. That's all hard work on the ground. So from our viewpoint here in the matter, that would involve conversation, which is ongoing between my colleagues and all our nurse specialists, and trying to generate from our database that we have, which is a limited one, actually, who do we think is suitable? And we may miss people. They may fall through the cracks.
Yeah.
So that really should be done in hand with the GPs. So, as part of that process, GPs involved, so we sure we get it right. And it may result in, actually, you may end up a list that you might have more people on the list that necessarily would meet the strict criteria. But on the other hand, they're appropriate to get the vaccines, get used. So there should be some flexibility in this and allow some clinical acumen and judgment being made in it, and in particular from the GPs. I don't think it can be rigid, because otherwise you're going to be restricting and people will fall between the cracks.
Yeah. Can I ask you finally, Tim, is it time possibly to be upfront with people about the 10,000 target this week, the target to vaccinate 10,000 people from this group by Sunday? We're at 295 as of now. Time to be real about the target?
You might imagine it was a slightly ambitious target. Targets are always good. I always end up aiming high and being positive. Sometimes I don't get there. It wouldn't surprise me that I made 10,000, but let's see. But yeah, perhaps that was ambitious.
Okay, let me read some text before we finish. A listener says, why can't each unit, i.e. dialysis units in hospitals, vaccinate their own patients? I suppose it's because of a centralised system of vaccination. Do you have any thoughts on that, Tim?
Well, you have to have the vaccine too as well, so we don't have enough vaccine. There's a limited amount of it, and that's been the rate-limiting step. So once you get enough vaccine, then how do you actually crank this up? And then that requires significant thought together. How do you line up the GPs and the hospitals and indeed other groups that can vaccinate? For example, dentists do injections all the time, so do pharmacists, etc. So that's a thought process that could be put together. If you put a group of people in that forum that I mentioned together and a think tank on rapidly, okay, let's get into this thing properly.
Okay, one or two more. Most GPs would do such patients lists, says one listener. Another consideration and maybe prioritisation also needs to be given to the high-risk group teachers, group 7 for vaccinations, is one listener. Let me read one more. What about those on dialysis who are over 70? My dad is 72, on dialysis also, and has a date of April the 2nd for his vaccine. There is no priority for over 70s with underlying conditions. And on they go. Let's leave it there for the moment. My thanks to Professor Tim Lynch, Derek Mitchell and Gillian McNulty. We'll take a break.